Father, we are grateful. You have blessed us beyond measure. Oh, we take far too much credit for our hard work, our devotion, our discipline, our sacrifices. And oftentimes we look around and we pat ourselves on the back because we believe that we have done all of this. And we forget that you are the giver of all gifts, good gifts. Our lives could change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Our health could be taken away. Our assets could be liquidated. The freedoms that we enjoy in this country could be lost. All of these things we take for granted, and we forget that we need to be grateful for the blessings that you have given to us as individuals, to us as families, to us as a church, to us as a country. But we seem to be forgetting you in every area. Bring us back. Open our eyes that we might see. Open our ears that we might hear, even today. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, how are you doing? You got all those gifts bought? You know, you can get online and type in gifts for him, and boom, boy, man, you just got. Or gifts for her, or gifts for teens, gifts for preteens, gifts for children, and you can be just overwhelmed. And I have to admit, I haven't bought one gift yet. I'm not doing too well. But I want to talk to you about a gift that we ought to be given. And that gift is to the one that we really are supposed to be celebrating. Or have we forgotten what we're celebrating or whose birthday it really is? It's pretty easy to forget it, isn't it? In the culture in which we live, with all that takes place in our surroundings, it's pretty easy to forget that Christmas is really a time of celebrating God's gift to us, the birth of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's pretty easy to forget that and to lose sight of that. So this morning I want to talk to you about gifts for Jesus. Gifts for Jesus. Take your Bibles, gifts that'll last forever. Back up here, slow down. I got a lot to cover this morning, so I'm going to have to watch my time very carefully. But gifts for Jesus that last forever. Anybody ever had these Merci gifts or chocolates? Anybody? Have you seen it advertised? Does anybody know what merci means? It says what? Thank you. Means thank you. So I want you to imagine this box of chocolate. Each piece represents a thank you gift for Jesus. All right? So take your Bibles, go with me to the book of Romans. While we're focusing just on 1 and 2, that's only half truth because I am going to include the whole chapter. But the first two verses are key, but I'm going to read the whole chapter, so follow with me. I better get in Romans, shouldn't I? Those of you that know me know that I'm really good at being in the wrong book. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body's a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then differing gifts according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. In proportion to our faith or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Be not wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Those are the words of God for us to consider this morning, and we're going to work through them fairly rapidly. But what I want us to see, those first two verses, and we touched on it last week, is that we are to be changing our worldview. We saw last week that the worldview that we have when we come to know Christ has been shaped by our world, by our culture, by our community, by our education, by our faith, by our family. All of these things feed into us and they affect us and they shape our worldview. But when we come to Christ, that worldview is to be shaped by God's word and God's word alone. That's the final authority. The way I think, the things I say, the things I do, the way I respond, everything is to be shaped by God's word rather than the culture around me. So we are to have a renewed mind, no longer conformed to this world. So we're going to be looking at 20 gifts found in this chapter that we can present to Jesus because we want to bring our bodies a living sacrifice. Like the song we sang earlier, I surrender 84%. No, I surrender all. So when we bring our bodies a living sacrifice, which means I die, the Keith Walsworth that lived prior to October 1978 was supposed to die. So that the Keith Walsworth you get a chance to know is different. Saturday we'll be doing, I wasn't going to share this, but I'll do it real quickly. Saturday is the memorial for my dad. We're going to be doing it in Florida at their home church. Their home church has only known him for about 15 years. They don't know the old Keith Walsworth. And I'm going to be walking them through the journey and how it wasn't until about 15 years ago that Keith Walsworth really began to change. And they were able to see that change. But anyone prior to that probably only remembers the old Keith Walsworth. But we are in a process of dying to ourselves. We don't want to have this world shaping us any longer. They have, for the longest time, been compressing us into their mold that we think, we act, we speak, we do as they want us to. But when the Word of God comes into our lives, we are changed completely. And so when that takes place, what we find in this book is what will be considered normal. I don't know if you saw that earlier. Romans 12, 1 and 2, it said the normal Christian life. You see, generally, and I said generally, the Christian life that we think is normal is really nothing more than the Christian life that our faith community has shaped us to be. Did you catch that? Generally, the normal Christian life that we have believed to be the normal Christian life is the Christian life that our faith community has shaped in us. Those that we know and our family and our church family, and we see what they do, we see how they respond, we think like them, and so we think it's just normal Christianity. No. What's normal Christianity is what we find spilled out in this chapter. But before I start, I want you to know that these transforming gifts that we present to Jesus are for us. It's for me. It's for you. And what I mean by that is, as we walk through these, I don't want you to be nudging your husband and saying, he's talking to you. And I don't want you kids turning around and looking at mom and dad and saying, he's talking to you. These gifts need to be seen in me, and I don't need to worry about whether they're seen in you, okay? It's me that I'm concerned about. Ray Stedman said this, he never wants to change others until he has changed you. So you spouses who are waiting for God to change your spouse, you probably better let him change you. Leave it at that. Jesus said, first remove the beam that is in your own eye. Then you will see clearly how to help your brother remove the little sliver that's in his eye. The order of this is so important. It starts with me. So let's look at these 20 gifts. And you can find them in your scriptures later. I'm going to go through them fairly rapidly. We will come back to these later on and expound just a little bit. So this morning, I'm just going to walk through these very, very rapidly with you. But if I have brought my body a living sacrifice, which is the least I can do, it's my reasonable service after all he has done, and I bring my body a living sacrifice, I change the way I think. I've taken his word. I've hidden it in my heart. It becomes a lamp and a light onto my path. It changes the way I live my lives. And so these things naturally will be seen in your life. So that when your kids look at you, they're going to see these. And they're going to know that you brought your body a living sacrifice. And they're going to see that you no longer are being conformed by the world, but you are being conformed by the word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this is the normal Christian life. First thing, love without hypocrisy. What's that mean? It just means that you've taken all the masks off. Has nothing to do with COVID right now, right? We can be so guilty of putting a smile on our face and showing love to another person through that casual greeting, and it all be fake. So when I get home, doesn't take long for the kids to see that what I showed at church was fake because of what I'm saying now. So the first thing that should come out of our lives as we have brought our bodies a living sacrifice to Christ, we're no longer being conformed to this world, we're transforming the way we think, our love is no longer hypocritical. No longer hypocritical. The second gift, to abhor what is evil. To abhor what is evil. The psalmist put it this way, you who love the Lord, hate evil. What does that mean? You hate hypocritical love. You hate anything that does not glorify the Lord. It's just the new mindset. Everything I do, whether I eat or drink or whatever I do for the glory of God. So anything that's in my life or anything that I see out in the world that is not bringing glory to God breaks my heart. I hate that. The third gift, cling to what is good. Cling to what is good and don't let go. We are to bind ourselves to that which is inherently right and worthy. Do you know how many times in the scriptures it says God's word is, can you tell me? It's good. God's word is good. And we are to bind ourselves, cling to this. For we know that this is the not only the word of God, but it's the words for life that bring glory to him. And so we cling to what is good. The fourth, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. By this, Jesus said, the world will know that you are my disciples. And I hate to say this, but COVID is destroying many churches right now because this is not being practiced. We all want things to go our way. And when others don't do it our way, boom. No, we are to have mutual love for one another, understanding that we all don't dot every I, cross every T exactly the same. And so I don't look down my nose because you don't do it like I do, and you don't look down your nose at me because I don't do it like you. If you can eat meat and do it for the glory of God, eat meat. If you can't eat meat for the glory of God, don't eat meat. That's what Paul said. And that can be applied to so many things. And so within our circles, we need to be careful. Because if I brought my body a living sacrifice, and I'm no longer being conformed to this world, but I'm being transformed by the renewing of God's word, I will be loving to my brothers, even though I don't agree with them on certain things. Now, we agree on the fundamental doctrines. There we will fight and die for. But some of these other things, love covers a multitude of sins. The fifth gift, in honor, giving preference to one another. That was pretty self-explanatory. Calls for a little humility on my part. I'm not to think of myself more highly than I ought to think. And I would rather you have your way than to force my way on you. Did you catch that? In honor, giving preference to one another, I would rather you have it your way than to demand that you see it my way. Hard stuff. Hard stuff. But when we bring our body a living sacrifice and we change the way we think, these are the gifts that we bring to Jesus. This is what this is our life now, and it's all for his glory. The sixth gift, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Another way of putting it, you don't work, you don't eat. It's no laziness. Our zeal and our intensity for the Lord is not lukewarm. Our Christian love and devotion, we are to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. There's no room for lukewarmness if I've really brought my body a living sacrifice and I'm changing the way that I think about God and life and eternity and all of that. The seventh gift, rejoicing in hope. Hope that causes us to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This culture right now is trying to shape us with confusion, division, and fear. That's the world out there. That's their worldview right now. And they're trying to press us into this mold to where we begin to make our decisions based on confusion and division and fear. No, 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 no. We are to be rejoicing in hope. God is sovereign. He's in charge. He's got this. I can trust him. And I don't allow all this negativity to affect my love for him and my desire to bring him glory. Because I understand right here at this very moment, everything that I face, I can trust him. And in that trust for him, I can hope. So I put my eyes on the author and the finisher of my faith, Jesus Christ, and I don't take them off of him. And I am able to hope in the midst of even tribulation. Which brings me to the eighth gift. patient in tribulation. It just simply means that I can trust him. I allow him to do what he sees fit, that I can count it all joy in the midst of the tribulations, in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the anguish. I can be patient knowing that he's at work in me. He uses these things to help shape me, to help mold me, so that I am not molded after the culture in which I live. And so I'm patient in tribulation when things are happening, when my world is falling apart. I can trust him. I can rest in him. Continuing steadfastly in prayer, one of the things that we struggle with, but bringing everything before him, continually laying our burdens at his feet. It's having that strong communion with him. I go to him. I run to him. And I'm fervent in my prayers. Halfway through, distributing to the needs of the saints, caring for one another. One of the things that we've done this year is gather gifts. We used to do it for servicemen, but this year I think we're doing it for the rescue mission, and we're going to be giving to the needs of those who are less fortunate than we. But that's not something that we do once a year. That's something that we need to have a tender heart, a discerning spirit about us, always looking for opportunities to bring glory to God by showing my love, my concern, my compassion with others. Because Jesus reminded us that when we do it to the least of these, we're doing it for his glory, we're doing it unto him. And we need to remember that. So therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. The next one, give into hospitality. It literally means pursuing the love of strangers. We think hospitality just means that I'm going to have my friends over often and feed them nice meals. Well, it can be part of that, but it literally means the pursuing the love of strangers. It's the hospitality of reaching out to individuals that you don't even know. And it can have benefits. Some of you probably remember the story here that when Matthew went to Iowa as a welder, all he had was what he had in his car, and he left. He went out to Iowa just with the idea, the promise that if you can read blueprints and you can pass the test, we'll hire you. And away he went, and the first Sunday he pulls up into a church parking lot, and after church he was just sitting there in his car, and somebody came over to him and said, "Where are you going for dinner?" And so they invited him into his house, their house. It just so happened they had a daughter in college. A little later when she came home, they're now married. So you never know. You reach out to strangers. So do not forget to entertain strangers. We're told in Hebrews that we might even be entertaining an angel when we do that. You never know. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That's hard. And what makes that oftentimes hard is because people push you, and they're pushing you for the very purpose that you respond in such a way that they say, "Aha, see, that's why I told you. I told you that would happen. Told you that's what they're like." So you got to be careful. They're going to push you and bait you and try to bring you to that point where you just finally just can't handle it anymore, and whoom! And they say, "Told you. Told you that's what would happen." No, you got to be careful. You bless those who persecute you. You bless them, you don't curse them. Remember, God's in control. We find out later, vengeance belongs to him. He will set the record straight. You don't have to make sure that you get all things, you know, straightened out here. It's okay if you die and everybody thinks you're a crumb. It's okay. Because later, God will clear the slate. You don't have to prove yourself now. He'll take care of that for you, all right? So bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. That's probably not stated right. It says treat them as if they were your friends, but do so with the hopes of making them your friends. Did you catch that? You treat them as if they're your friends, hoping that they become your friends. Did you know that Jesus loved us while we were yet his enemies? You know why he did that? So that he might call us friends. Next gift. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. It's just compassionate with others in their circumstances. It's just compassionate to others in their circumstances. So you're able to rejoice with those that rejoice, and you can weep with those that weep. Next gift. Be of the same mind toward one another. It's hard. So one fella says he can eat meat. The next person says they can't eat meat. Well, how does this work? They both love each other, knowing that they have differing opinions as far as meat goes. But it doesn't affect their relationship and their love for one another. Their mindset, both of them, is to bring glory to God. And so, even if you don't agree with me, I know that you're doing what you're doing because you believe you can bring glory to God. So therefore, we can be of the same mind. Our goal is to bring glory to God. You can do it by eating meat. I can do it without eating meat. To God be glory. Next gift. So it's showing no personal favoritism as well. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. One of the things to do is remember that everything you have is a gift from God. And that'll help keep you humble. But just that reminder. The point here is that there is no nobility. There's no hierarchy in the church. There's no place for the exclusive first-class mentality that because of who I am and the position I hold makes me above you. No, we're a body, right? So you've got toes and knees and whatever I am, whatever gift I have is given to me because of God. And so there's no room for this first-class, second-class Christian stuff. So we associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. There's no room for conceit in the Christian life. There's no room for conceit, self-promotion. So the gift I want to bring to him is I'm not wise in my own opinion. I understand I can be wrong, and I might even be wrong. You know, maybe I'll find out later that it's okay for me to eat meat, and I'll change. Or maybe a little later on I'll find out that maybe I shouldn't be eating meat for the glory of God. So don't be wise in your own opinion. You may have egg on your face later on, and you might have to eat your words. So be careful. The 17th, repay no one evil for evil. You know, as brothers growing up, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. And we grow up in that mentality, and so we grow up in that culture, that mindset. And then we come to church. No. I'm bringing my body a living sacrifice. Changing the way I think. I know that's the way the world does it. That's not the way we do it to bring glory to God. So you repay no one evil for evil. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Our forgiving, gracious behavior, even toward our enemies, should commend us to them and to others who witness that behavior. John MacArthur's quote. And so everything I do, the way I respond to everything, it should be somehow pointing people to the glory of God as they see what's happening in my life. Number 19, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That means you got to let go of the grudges. You can't be holding on to, do you know what he did to me? Do you know what she said to me? You got to let go of those things. All that bitterness, it's got to go. It's got to go. The last one, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, you don't let that evil infect you. Because when it begins to infect you, it no longer hurts them. It's eaten away at your soul. And so you don't overcome evil with evil. You overcome evil with good. So Paul is saying here, when you bring your body a living sacrifice and you die to self and you surrender to him and you begin to change the way you think. No longer thinking like the world has taught you to think, but you think the way God's word has taught you to think, that all 20 of these things will be normal in the Christian life. Normal. And if they're not normal, then I am not living the normal Christian life. I'm probably living the normal Christian life that my Christian community has taught me, but that's not what brings glory to God. What brings glory to God is when I truly live the normal biblical Christian life. And then you'll have gifts for Jesus, and he'll be happy. Let's pray. Father, help us. We want to live the normal Christian life. But the normal Christian life isn't what we have thought to be normal. That's carnal. That's carnal. And the normal Christian life brings glory to you in all that we do. Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we bring glory to you. And so in Romans 12, Paul kind of spells it out for us what the normal Christian life looks like. And I would ask that you would help us. Help us to bring our bodies right now, today, a living sacrifice, and surrender it all. And then help us to become students of your word, to where we go in and we dig and we hide your word within our heart, that we might not sin against you, and to where we live out these things that we have read and examined today. I've got a long ways to go, and I ask that you would help me. In Jesus' name, amen.